Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on. That's the secret right there. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it. Seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people go!
Hey, shalom, shalom, shalom. What few saints of the Most High we have in the room. I know it's an odd night to have the broadcast, but last night we had some difficulties, and so I just figured I'd do it tonight. I probably should have done it next Thursday night because more people would have known about it, but oh well, that'd be all right. Thank you, Brother Ugly, for the 10. Appreciate it. Glory to the King. Well, Hallelujah. Brother Ugly, you won't be posting for too many people because too many people ain't going to be following the chat, it'll look like. No, I see what's going on. There it is. It's loose. Anyway, Blog Talk work tonight, huh? That's a step up. Hey, we're getting somewhere. I bless you, Brother Steve, Sister Wanda, Brother Jeffrey. I'm sure glad y'all made it back from your little your little trial on the way back. Glory to the King from the feast. I tell you what, things are subject to change in a second, ain't they? All right, glory to the King. Well, anyway, I guess people have to listen to the rebroadcast. If they want to listen to the rebroadcast on Brother Jermaine when he puts it up there. Ah, glory to the King. Well, anyway, man, y'all getting snow up there? Y'all got blasted by the winter snowstorm, didn't you? Man, we have snow today. It's April, what, 16th today, and it's snowing? That's insane. I mean, I was up in Minnesota. I could expect it, but we're a little bit south of that Canadian border now, and it's like, what in the world? What in the world? This has got to be the craziest weather I've ever seen in my life. It's global warming. Al Gore is going to stand up and tell everybody it's global warming, okay? Anyway, hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hey, solar minimum. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that's what I heard. I talked to Pastor too tonight, and he said that that's what they had up in Detroit when they were leaving freezing rain, snow, and ice. So they were pretty close to the Canadian border there anyhow in Detroit. Anyway, hey, bless y'all. With few of you in the room tonight, I thank you for your diligence tuning in. In case you don't know, this is Elder Becker, Straightway Ministries, co-hosting tonight's Odd Broad Blog Talk on First Day Evening. But anyway, glory to the King. I really hope that you all have been re-listening to the Sabbath teachings that that we've been getting. You know, talking about Yeshua standing there before us as an advocate and his living blood giving us access to the Father. I mean, what a glorious, wonderful thing it is that how Yah really loves us, how his mercy is really there continually for those that he loves and for those that love him. But anyway, tonight's blog talk study is going to be on forgiveness. And I actually didn't have any idea. Again, my usual pattern, well, I don't want to say usual, but more so lately than not, you know, I try to get my blog talk ready early, and I'm asking the Father what he would like me to speak about, because it's always been a fearful thing for me to sit down and speak to his people. It really has. You know, it's you don't want to say anything wrong. You don't want to mislead anybody. You know, you don't want to be in error because, you know, especially to the babes. So it's a fearful thing to you know, speak to Yah's people, and I hope that anybody that ever does, in whatever capacity, keeps that in the back of their mind. But, you know, not to digress too much, and of course, the Father's been speaking through our shepherd, Pastor Dahl, about what it means to go before Yah, and what it means to get prostrate, get right, ask, you know, repent before the Most High, and actually go to that court, and hopefully it's you're facing Abba Father rather than judge, you know. And that even though that, you know, we still got to be accountable for what we do in this life, that we still have that advocate that, you know, pleads our case. I'm thankful for it. So, again, that's why tonight I believe the topic is, like, all week I wasn't getting anything. I had two or three different things I was trying to work. And then yesterday afternoon I was asking the Father, it's stuff in my mind just popped in my head about forgiveness. So, and of course, I know it was from Yah because it just comes together and I can throw it together and I don't have any hindrances and, you know, nothing like slowing me down. So I thank him for that. But anyway, with that, we're going to get started. Thank you again, Brother Paul, for, you know, keeping up with the my fast speed here, posting the scriptures and the definitions for the saints to follow along with. Hey, Brother Dwayne, Pastor said y'all made it too. I know we spoke 4 or 5 weeks ago. I'm glad to hear that y'all made it and enjoyed the trip. So good to see you in the room tonight too as well. Yes, sir. There's a few people listening by phone. That's good. I understand it's an oddball night, but that's just what happens. Anyways, when I get started, and this is called forgiveness. And if y'all type something on the chat room screen, I can't see it. Unfortunately, I broke my glasses that I've had for 6 years on sixth day. I put on an old pair that I had. They broke, so I'm down to like an 8-10-year-old pair that doesn't have my bifocals. I can't see nothing. I have to take them off to be able to read, so that's what I'm going to do. So here we go. Anyway, glory to the King. Enough of that. All right, forgiveness. This is all about forgiveness and what it means for us as Israelites. All right, one of the single greatest requirements as saints of the Most High is the necessity to forgive. Forgiveness is paramount to salvation. Without the ability to want to forgive and forget, one stands little to no chance of making it into glory to spend eternity with the King. Forgiveness breaks down walls. It erases barriers. It heals open wounds. It gives us the ability to be freed from the bondage of our past, and it opens doors to the future. And it is easier to forgive someone we are fond of. It's supposed to be a footnote later on, but I guess I got it mixed up. But I'm going to say it right now here anyway. But it's always easier for us to forgive somebody that we're fond of, somebody that we have a deep care and concern for. But the real test comes for is those that you're not so familiar with, those that you don't have a closer acquaintance with. Them are the ones that it's going to take a little bit more. It shouldn't. Sometimes it does, but to forgive them at the same level you would for those that you are fond of. No one, and I mean no one, absolutely no one can afford to hold in reserve unforgiveness. For in doing so, mankind places himself higher than Yah, or meaning that it's up to everybody that's an Israelite, that proclaims they're an Israelite, that is in this way of truth, because that's what Yah demands, to forgive. Forgiveness is about covering the transgressions, sins, and iniquities that we do to others and those things that are done to us. We're going to start out in 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4, chapter 4, 16 and 17. All right. And we have known and believed that the love of Yah has to us, and the love that he has for us, the love he demonstrates for us. Yah is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in Yah, and Yah in him. So in order to dwell in the Father, you got to dwell in his love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As our Father is, so are we ought to be in this world. And we're going to get to that being his image. Yah is the only and ultimate expression of what real love is. He is faithful, merciful, obedient, just, true, righteous, compassionate, caring, and much more. And he is also going to chastise, correct, instruct, rebuke, and reprove his people. And all these things that he is what we should be as well, for we are created and being fashioned into his image or into his likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And Yah said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Yah created man in his image or in his likeness, in the persona that he was. He created himself, man, in his image, his likeness. In the image of Yah created he him, male and female created he them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through 9 and 10. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. So lying is definitely associated with the old man and the deeds of the old man. We are to be transparent, honest, open, as the Father would have us, one to another. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, meaning being renewed, reconditioned, reprogrammed, being retransformed in the knowledge of the things that we know about our Father after the image of Him that created Him. 2 Peter 3, chapter 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. The Master is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. It's not His desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? So when they come to that place of repentance, it can remove them from that place that they may perish, and they actually may receive that forgiveness from the Father. It's all about the preservation of your soul, or being right before the Most High, doing those things that are pleasing to Him and Him alone, because when you please Him, you also please those that are with Him. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, oh, bless you, Brother JC. Thank you, sir. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So there's a condition. Yahshua laid it out perfectly, didn't mince any words, like Brother Shane talked about in the Shabbat message, the simplicity that's in Yahshua. All right? Very simple, very down direct. There's nothing that is too complicated with this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you're not willing, out of the righteousness of Yah, and out of the duty, out of the things that He tells us to do as His people, the thing that He would do because of His love for us, if we're not willing to do it, He ain't going to do it for us. And if you're not going to have your sins forgiven when you stand before Him, the only judgment then can be hell. The word trespass is the Greek 3900, parapatoma, and it's from the Greek 3895. It means a side slip. This is from the Strong, excuse me, Brother Paul Strong. A side slip, lapse, or deviation, that is unintentional error or willful transgression. Fall, fault, offense, sin, trespass. So it's when you slip and fall, you mess up, you goof up, you have an error, whether it's unintentional or intentional, you know, whatever the case may be, it's something that you've done against your brother, more importantly, against the Most High. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1, let me see, 1 through 3, Galatians 6, 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if he be overtaken in a fault, so Paul is addressing this to the assembly of Galatians, you which are spiritual have enough knowledge of what's going on in the holy, not being carnal but holy, knowing that people get trapped in certain situations and conditions and circumstances. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest that all be tempted. So we're not being an unjust judge, not being over condemning. We have to consider ourselves that this is the state of man, that people do get trapped and taken by the snare of Satan. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fill the law of Yahshua. For if a man thinketh he himself is something, meaning that he can't ever be taken over in a fault, that he's above the ability of Satan to deceive him, When he's nothing, he's deceived in his own self. The word fault is the Greek 3900, and we just went over that. It's the same word for trespasses that we read that Yeshua spoke of in Matthew 6:15. Same word. The same word for fault is the same word for trespasses. It's the Greek 3900 again. It's from the Greek 3895, which is very important from where this comes from. It means a side slip, a lapse, or deviation. That is an unintentional error or willful transgression, as we read before. So if any man be taken in a fall, in a side slip, in an error, you know, be deceived in whatever, in his own mind, because he didn't consider thyself, that it couldn't happen to him and allowed Satan to actually take advantage of him. Again, this comes from the Greek 3895, and it means it's from the Greek 3844 and 4098 again. Sorry, this is in the Strong's. And it means to fall aside. That is figuratively to apostatize, fall away. So if a man be overtaken of fault, to fall away, to apostatize, which means to go back, to fall away, to be backslidden. And that's what we're going to read about next. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Jeremiah 3, 11 through 14. And Yahweh said unto me, the backsliding Israel have justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Isn't that what happened when people are going back, when they're falling away, when they're apostatizing, when they're in an error? The first thing that comes up is self-justification, because you have to actually convince yourself what you're doing is right, because nobody wants to openly admit that they're going to transgress against the Most High. They don't want to say that they're purposely not walking in the fear of the Most High. They're going to, by their own admission, conceive in their mind, deceive themselves, falsify in their mind that they are justified in the actions they are taking when they're totally against the Most High. Verse 12, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, this is Yahshua talking to the prophet Jeremiah, return thou backsliding Israel. So here's an open invitation to Israel that have Yah's chosen seed, Yah's firstborn son, Yah's bride. This is his bride, right? This is his betrothed. And he's saying that they have backslidden, they have gone out, they're justifying themselves. And again, now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the great compassion and mercy that the Father has on his people, as we should have one for another when we're in our right state. All right. Anyway, and he said, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger. I mean, if you're somebody that is in this condition, that is justified in the way, the lifestyle that they're in, that you've apostatized, you've fallen away, gone away from the Most High in his ways, and I mean, the Father has enough love and mercy for you to actually extend an invitation to come back, that you'll be coming back, and you ignore that, you can forget it. Boy, your place in hell will be much greater than that. Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Master, I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, meaning that I'm not going to be angry with you if you do what I'm telling you to, but if you don't do, my anger is going to fall. And for why? Why is the Father actually doing? Because one of his attributes, one of the greatest things about the Father is that I am merciful. And why is he merciful? Because he knows our state. He knows we're just but dust. He knows that we're flesh and we're prone. And as Yahshua was tempted in all points, so shall we be. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Open up, say something. Man, I'm wrong. I'm sick and tired of justifying what I'm doing and presenting my own decision in my mind, being my own judge, my own advocate, trying to give the Father some type of deceptive answer that this is okay for me to continue on this way. Just acknowledge it. Man, I'm not going to be angry. Just go ahead and acknowledge thy crookedness, thy lawlessness, that thou hast transgressed against me, the Most High, thy Elohim, and has scattered thy ways to the stranger under every tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. And he's dealing with a condition where Israel went out into all these other nations and committed idolatry, which to him is just nothing but harlotry. Going out there and playing the whore with the other nations. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you. My covenant is with you. My covering is upon you, supposed to be upon you if you stay in this marriage covenant. But if you go out, I'm telling you, you better get your butt back here. All right? And I will take one of you, sitting to a family, and I will bring you to Zion. The word backslidden, Hebrews 77:26. As we read earlier in the Greek 38:95, peripatio, as we were talking about overtaking the fault, the word backslidden, Hebrews 77:26, shabab, is to apostate. Apostate, that is idolatrous or commit idolatry, backsliding, to turn away, forwardly. So we have the same situation that Paul was explaining at the assembly of the Galatians as one that is overtaking in a fault. The father demonstrating the same behavior that Paul was talking about back in the time of Jeremiah. All right, come back to me. I understand that you've been overtaken in a fault. I'm merciful. I want you to turn from your iniquity and come back. And the rest of you out there, you take note. You take clear mental note of what is going on here so you don't get deceived of the same thing, because though his mercies are on the just, they're not forever. That's why he puts these examples in front of us, right? And that way we don't tempt the Most High. And the beautiful thing about this, Deuteronomy 24:1, I'm just throwing this in this because when I was writing this, just popped in my head. But so I put it on the paper. And this is Jeremiah. This is Yah's favor towards his wife, the ones he's married to, his betrothed, all right? And he says, this is likened unto Deuteronomy 24:1, at least in my opinion, humble opinion. When a man have taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor, that is no kindness, no acceptance, no grace in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give in her hand, and send her out of the house. Well, we obviously see in this case in Jeremiah that the father still had favor for Israel. He still had acceptance. He still had grace for them to actually say, acknowledge thine iniquity, turn from your wicked ways, and come on back to me. I am married to you. My covenant was with you. I want that covenant to be established and sound, and I'm giving you the opportunity to amend your wicked ways. I mean, what other greater testimony of forgiveness than that can you find? I mean, what a beautiful demonstration and example that the Father gave us here. He still had his favor upon his wife. Micah 7:18-19. Who is Yah like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Who is in a greater capacity to pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He actually is something he's looking to bestow upon people, and his forgiveness is his mercy. That's one of the strongest, greatest attributes of our Father. But don't, tempt him in his mercy. Nobody ought to have enough. Say, well, Father, I'm just going to go out and do this, and I'm going to commit this, and because you're merciful. Well, that's actually tempting, and we're not supposed to tempt the Yahweh the Elohim, and that actually is a transgression against him, as of course that you know. He retains not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Again, this is the love of Yah that we talked about in 1 John 4 as we opened up. This is an attribute. This is his love. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou will cast all their sins in the depth of the sea. And we are made in whose image? In the Father's image. We're actually practicing walking. We should be walking in the same type of mindset for our brother and sister. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't know if you all saw the Patron. And if you're not a part of Patron, you should be. I mean, our shepherd, the man of Yah, Pastor Dahl, puts in a great amount of effort to keep the people fed. It's a measly investment. I mean, and it's a love offering to show your support. Get on Patreon if you're not on there. It starts out at $1 for an offering. You know, it goes all the way up, I believe, to $100. But you get there's no price that you can pay for. But what I'm getting to is he spoke about one of his latest videos about a member, a man that used to be part of this assembly that wrote a letter to him and, you know, expressed to him as genuine as he could what really happened in his course life, how badly he was deceived, and how many times that the fathers tried to pardon this man, tried to forgive this man, and he would not stop from his wicked ways. So Yah's mercy finally ran out, and he's going to pay for his judgment, not only speaking against, most importantly, the man of Yah, Pastor Dahl, and because he was taken, he didn't listen to the counsel, didn't listen to the preachings and teaching. Now he's going to pay for it in the prison system. And like Pastor said in the video, his heart is heavy. I can't blame him. Like we saw earlier, the Father would have that no man would perish. That's his mercy. But people, that's going to happen because they're going to be justified in what they're doing and believe that what they're doing because of the deceit of the devil, they're going to keep pushing it until the hammer falls. All right, the word pardon, as we read in verse 18, that pardoneth iniquity, is the Hebrew 53:75. It's nesah. This is the Brown driver definition. It means to lift, bear up, carry, take, to lift, lift up, to bear, carry, support, sustain, endure, to take away, to forgive. So that forgiveth iniquity, lawlessness, and transgression, that take away these things. And of course, that's by the living blood of our advocate, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And there's a whole bunch of other definitions there. I'm not going to read them all because it's like a page long. Yeah, it looks like on the chat room, after I put my glasses on, that if some of the saints have already watched it. Yeah, it is very powerful, and it should be a fearful thing. All right. Continuing on talking about forgiveness, I think I'm going to take a break here. I've lost track of time. Let me look and see. Yeah, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in at the end of Sister Wenda's ministry break. Shalom.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-30. 25. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
All right, I believe we're back on. Oh, you're welcome, Brother Dwayne. Glory to the King, glory to the King. I'm grateful to hear that you actually, was happy for you to hear you that you made it down to the Troy meeting. And by what I, you know, what account that I heard and what I saw, that it was very fruitful, hallelujah. But of course, this ministry here under our shepherd, you know, that's what it's all about, producing good fruit. All right, we're back up. And again, tonight's topic is all about forgiveness and what it means to walk in the love of the Father, because that is one of his attributes, forgiveness, and his mercy and forgiveness and his compassion and forgiveness. But the one thing that we can't, you know, understand, like Pastor has said many times over the years, is that, yeah, we are required to give. We got no choice but to forgive. But when it comes to restoration, no. I mean, that's obviously left up, because there's always a time of trial and testing to see if somebody, I'm talking in the realms that those that have completely apostatized or fallen away, about being restored again. Now, in the individual case, between we have brothers in good standing or sisters in good standings in the ministry, you're always getting an opportunity at some point in this walk of faith, especially when you're living among saints 24/7, is this opportunity to actually forgive. I mean, I don't want to be pointing to myself, but you can ask the brothers here that if Elder Becker hasn't gone to them before humbly and asked for their forgiveness for things, and that's been very recently for things that, you know, that I've made mistakes on, that I haven't been correct in telling them, you know, just because it's just the nature of the Father in me, and I'm thankful for it. It's never been my desire in any way, shape, or form to mislead anybody in anything, and especially as an elder, boy, I'll tell you, it's even more of a really conscious thing in one's mind. But all right, back on the study. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. Colossians 2, 10 through 13. All right. And ye are complete in him. You're whole. You're made, again, the word obviously, complete, which is the head of all principality and power. He's talking about Yeshua, in whom you also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Yah, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, has he quickened together, with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, everything, wiped it clean on the day of your repentance, on the day of your rebirth, wiped it all, because you were dead. You were unworthy to stand before the King. And he took all these things away. How has Yahshua been able to make us alive to Yah with him by the forgiveness of our sins, removing the blot and the stain and the stench from before a holy, righteous, and just Yah, to make us clean before our Creator? Luke chapter 7, verse 7, chapter 7, 37 through 50, one of my favorite chapters. Luke 7, 37 through 50. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. So we already know her state. The Bible is being descriptive about who we're dealing with here. When she knew that Yahshua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointments, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment, with the ointment, excuse me. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if we were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Of course, you know, obviously we're looking at a religious, deeply religious spirit. They're actually judging the quality, and they're not judging as Yah judges, thankfully, that Yah judges is the way he judges. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. So Simon's watching all this. He's probably sitting right next to Yahshua as he's sitting there in this Pharisee's home and watching this woman, you know, going through all this, and obviously going to use this as a teaching tool, as something to expound his mercy again and what his mercy means and how it should never, ever be taken for granted. And Jesus answering Simon, okay, we read that. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. Simplicity, like Brother Shane, Teacher Shane taught, just simplicity. Something just put out there really simple. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, there's nothing we can give back, absolutely nothing, but our servitude once we're saved, to be faithful, obedient servants, to be loving servants. That's all we have, but we can't ever pay the full price back. Tell me, therefore, which of them will he love? Which of them will love him the most? So which of these two creditors, these two debtors, excuse me, going to have the greater amount of love for the one that forgave the debt? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for thy feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She understood the depths of her transgression. She understood the depths of her iniquity. She understood that she was before the true and living Yah, the true and Elohim. And he was setting this for an example for everybody sitting there to be an example going forward for all of Israel, right? And he says right away, I was here, you had the opportunity to do this for me. You didn't think nothing of it because there's something missing from your heart. You're like those that believe that you're already there, that you're never needy, that you have no need of me anymore, that you have no real deep things that are going on in you that actually that I can take away from you by my living blood. So he's making this example to Simon. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. So we got Simon Peter sitting there. This is just expectation for him. Man, he's on the good with Yahshua. You know, he feels like everything is up and up, that, you know, that he's doing fine. His walk is smooth, that, you know, his whole life is grand because he's with the king. But Jesus, man, he's stunning Peter, saying, how come you didn't do none of this for me? Because you don't understand the state that you're really in. And he's showing Peter this woman to get it across to him that this is how we should always be for the Most High, always looking for to be clean before him. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. I mean, they're boy, she loaded this woman. And she's coming in with some great humility, some great fear, expecting, hoping for forgiveness. I mean, you can just feel this woman's her pain. She really wants to be freed from where she messed up in her life because she sinned. She was a transgressor before the Most High. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, showing her expression about how grateful she was to the king for what he's been doing and what he's about to do. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Well, the reason that they love it a little because they don't think they're in any type of state where they actually need to go to the Most High for the condition of their own heart. That's a deceived man. That is a deceived man. This woman was striving. She was reaching out for redemption, for she knew the love of Yah. She actually was convinced there was something in her heart. She knew the mercy, the love, and the grace of the Father, and she was seeking for it. She wasn't trying to be presumptuous. She wasn't just going through the motions. She just wasn't putting on a show, just wasn't saying the words. She was actually, there was something deep in her. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say with themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 to 38. Luke 6, 36 to 38. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Again, another condition of the Most High. And Jesus starts it off, be merciful, because Yah is merciful. That's an attribute. We're created, we're being transformed in His image. So that's what this is all about. It's not like you're supposed to let things just slide and look the other way and say, well, you know, they didn't know, or, you know, it's just a human error, a human nature. You know, they fell back into the carnal mindset. No, things have to be reproved and rebuked and be corrected. Absolutely. But that, again, is the mercy of Yah. You know, don't get that messed up with this Christian false love crap. No, that is the mercy of Yah, to actually extend some rebuke and correction, instruction, direction. That tells you He's still working with you and still trying to pull you back to Him. Given and shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And that's not only, that's talking about forgiveness and being forgiven. For with the same measure you meet, shall be measured to you again. Don't ever hold anything reserved. As a deliverance ministry, most of you that are listening already know this. If you're new to the show tonight, for some other reason the Father's got you on here, is that one of the prime reasons for cancer, spiritually, causes is the root of bitterness and unforgiveness, harboring all this stuff for years because somebody may have done something to you in the past, and you know, may have hurt you so badly that the pain in your heart would never go away. That stuff will just fester and grow, and you'll see the manifestation in the disease of the body. So get rid of it. Be done with it. Give it to the Father. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12. Let me see. 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Yah, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long, all the attributes of the Father. Here's Paul listening to Colossians. This is a representation. This is Yah's love. This is His love right here. So put these things on. Put on the same thing as the elect of Yah, as your Father, which in heaven demonstrates and represents for His people, having mercy unto those for a thousand generations. He said that way back in the commandments. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Yahshua forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, this reminds me of Brother Kabir when he was down here. He actually did some videos. If you don't know, that Brother Kabir has a YouTube channel out now. He does, and I would really behoove you to go and subscribe to it. It's Kabir Baja Gamal, forgive me, Brother Kabir, if I butcher your name, but KGB's channel, right? And he was talking about an incident down here during the feast where there was a quarrel between a few brothers, right? Pastor spoke about that too, how an 18-year-old young man had to come in and actually use the word to defuse this thing, to actually get these older men back to their senses. But the beauty of the thing was, and as Kabir pointed out in his video as well, is the fact that they went to each other after the fact. They knew that they were out of line and out of order with the way Yah does things, and they actually went and they repented each other and they made amends. Beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. As Yahshua forgave you, so also you do with each other. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. through 35, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Yahweh, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. This probably was a shock to Simon Peter, Simon Kepha. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, he was thinking, man, this is enough right here, seven times? And Yahshua is saying, man, this is 490 times. We're going to find out that's in one day. That's how important it is. You need to keep in the back of your mind. You know, people have arguments, they have disputes, and they walk away from them, and they never resolve them things. And you got to wonder if there's some type of offense, there's some type of unforgiveness still festering in there because you believe the other person was wrong and you were right. I mean, that example has been displayed in Israel, you know, not only, you know, in the last however many years, but for thousands of years because, you know, hey, we just, you know, are prone to that type of attack from Satan. Jesus saying to him, I say not, okay, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. So he's going to help better explain it to Simon Kepha about what we got going on here. He's going to speak a parable so he can better give an illustration of how this is represented. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So he's making account of his servants. But for as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. He's going to get what he had coming to him back to him. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay. How many other times we ask the Father, just help me, Father, just please have mercy on me till I can get this thing right. You know, I'm having a little struggle here. You know, I just need a little, just please, Father, help me. I'm on my knees. You know, I'm crying out to the Most High. Please have patience with me, you know, so I can get rid of this. I can loose myself from the bondage of this debt. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, again, an attribute of the Most High, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellows who completely forgot what just happened to him, right? Arrogant, presumptuous, you know, self-willed, lifted up, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Payest me thou that thou owest. Ooh, boy, what a rough place. And the fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay. Remember, supposed to exercise the same attributes as our father would, right? But now we have the same demonstration here, and it's not playing out that way. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison. He's going to take him to the hilt, boy. He's going to make this man suffer and let him know that because what you did to me or what you owe me, I'm going to pay you back till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their master all that was done. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You asked me, like we asked, Father, please, you know, forgive me my iniquities, sins, transgressions. I confess that I've done them before you, you know, forgive me. And he faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And then we can go to somebody else and actually stand justified that we don't have to receive that forgiveness from them. We don't have to honor them and grant him the same type of privilege that the Father gave. Yeah, wicked servant. That's exactly what you're dealing with. A wicked servant. Shouldst now thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due. And he's going to get his just due here, boy. Whatever judgment you mete out, it's coming right back. Spiritual law. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Forgiveness is not superficial. Yah knoweth if actually what, when you actually forgive somebody, if the intent is really godly and deep and sorrowful. All right? If you actually mean it, that it's not going to ever hold anything down with any burden, It's not going to rise as a pain again. And that's, you know, we've talked about it here as a deliverance ministry. Pastor brought it out, you know, how many times over the years, especially during mass deliverance, is that if anything that causes a pain in your heart, whenever you think about it, it comes back up. It means it's something that's an unresolved issue that you really need to examine and attack so you can put it away from you. Luke 17, chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. And again, the word for offenses, you look at stumbling blocks. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Take note to yourselves. Take close examination of yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. There's a condition here. Rebuke him. There's something. And believe me, rebuke is something that is not a comfortable thing. I mean, anybody that's actually, a lot of times, you know, because there's a fear that rises up. It's like, man, you know, my God, telling people that they're wrong about something and the chance and the possibility that you might be wrong for, well, it still is a requirement. This is something that Father, this is how you give an expression of love, the love of Yah. No, it's never been an easier thing, and it's a very enjoyable thing, but it actually expresses the true love for you have for your brother or sister. And if you repent, forgive him. Man, if he says, he acknowledges, man, brother, you are right. Sister, you are right. I have failed in this area. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to justify myself or find some type of reason to make you believe that you're wrong in this, you know. And if he can come clean, yeah, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times a day and seven times a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Many will say, I'm sorry and I repent, and we should forgive them. But what we must not be stumbled by is sincerity of their repentance. Our position is that we must forgive them. That is our position in Yahshua, that when they ask, we are required to forgive. The place of discernment and judgment of true heartfelt repentance is reserved for Yah. And for those hypocrites who only feign repentance to appease another's conscience, they will have a far greater judgment for taking lightly the very thing that would have freed them from bondage. Now, it's one of my tight paragraphs, but I hope you understood what I was saying. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Yahshua, Father, forgive them. Even in the midst of all this, here's the mercy of the Most High. For they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. These people, the ones that Yahshua was talking about, they didn't know they were being used of the devil when they attacked the Messiah. Yahshua was making a petition on their ignorant behalf. That didn't mean that these people were going to escape judgment, but at least Yahshua was fulfilling his own words when he said to forgive men of their trespasses. What life experiences can you recall where the devil used others to bring into your life traumatic experiences and scars that may have lasted for years? You know, used other men to cause damage to you that you haven't dealt with. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Romans 4, 6 and 7. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom Yah imputeth righteousness without works. Verse 7, saying, blessed are those that are fortunate, well off, or those that are happy, are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I mean, don't you want this for yourself? When you want this for yourself, you know, how about others as well? It shouldn't this something you want for yourself and others? If you want it for yourself, you better damn well want it for others as well. Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Man, that's a blessed man. Just like Romans 4, 6 and 7. Blessed are those, or you're truly blessed, that you can actually be forgiven, not only by the Most High, but by all of those that are around you. That is a blessing. Blessed is you whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Most High, the Master, imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And, of course, Revelation 14 talks about the attributes, the characteristics of 144,000. They had no guile. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, there's another admonition from Paul. Don't let it come out, because from out of the issues of the heart proceedeth what's going on in your life. What's going in your heart, you speak it. Let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, how can we grieve him? I mean, how do people grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, we're not obeying the Holy Spirit, but also, again, Paul proceeded by saying that the corrupt communications come out of your mouth, that which isn't good to edifying, but actually to tearing down, destroying, which is mimicking the works of Satan. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby you sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yah for Yahshua's sake hath forgiven you. Again, another demonstration of the program that the Father has prescribed for his people. Psalm chapter 51, Tehillim 51, 2 through 5. This is the cry of David. I mean, David, man, there's a man of passion. I mean, if you want to see how it got done, and a man's depth of his heart and his love for the Most High and what he wished from the Father and how he desired to do right before the Father, man, Psalm, what a perfect book. I mean, beautiful. Here's David's cry. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, my lawlessness, my crooked ways, and cleanse me from my sin. Who doesn't want that? I mean, who doesn't cry that? And of course, when you cry it, it's going to require some action. It's going to work. You have to convince Yah, and he will do it, right? Just don't go back and repeat it. For I have acknowledged my transgressions. This is what David said, man. I told you, Father, I know I did this. I'm not trying to hide it from you. I know I'm in this wicked. I'm not trying to justify it. I'm not trying to deceive myself in believing that I'm walking in a right direction, even though it's contrary to your word, contrary to what has been spoken to me by the Holy Spirit, what's been preached, ministered. I acknowledge it. Man, I messed up. Man, I crapped all over myself. I'm from a repentant heart. My sin is ever before me. These things are always there to reach out, to tempt me, to drive me, you know, to cause me in my flesh to go against you. And against thee, thee only have I sinned. I done this evil in thy sight, and thou mightest be justified when thou speakest me clear, when thou judgest. I did it, Father. I know I did. And there's nothing I can take away. Everything you say is going to be right. And David says, he makes a plea, but remember, I was shaping iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. So I was born in this state. Have some mercy on me, Father. I count on you. Man, if there's anything in my prayers, that's always how I start. Thank you for your mercies, Father. I might spend 5 minutes just thanking Yah for his mercies, because it's the thing that gives me breath. It gives me the ability to actually go before him in my devotion time, to actually seek him out in his word. That is his mercy, to actually give me another day to get right. Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 through 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death, meaning it doesn't hold, there's no substance to it. Nothing, the sorrow of the world, there's nothing there that can move the Most High. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, Why? Because they recognized something that was going on in themselves. They acknowledged, like David did, their transgressions deep from within. They're screwed up. What carefulness had wrought in you? Yea, what clearing of yourselves? Yea, what indignation? Yea, what fear? Yea, what vehement desire? Yea, what zeal? Yea, what revenge? And all these things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter, because there was a godly sorrow. There was a desire, a vehement desire, a zeal, a passion, an indignation against what we've done to our Creator, the one Yah that saved us and loves us, right? And all this took place so we could be cleared of all those things that we fell in the trap to, that we actually gave over to in our flesh, that we sinned against the Most High. We may have sinned against our brothers and sisters. Again, all sin is against the Most High. The true repentance, one with godly sorrow and antipathy for the sins they have committed and confessed, will clear them before our Elohim. James chapter 5, verses 16 through... Ooh, that's a bigger one. Oh, we're almost done. James chapter 5, 16 through 20. James 5, 16 through 20. Alrighty, something is messed up here. Give me 1 second. I don't know what happened. Well, that's interesting. All right, hold on 1 minute. For some reason, James 16 has completely disappeared off my page. Technical glitch. All right, let me see. We're just about there. All right, James chapter 5, starting in verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word confess, it means to profess, assent, acknowledge. So you want to confess your faults to one another. You want to profess them, assent them, give an assent to you actually, or an agreement that you've actually faulted somebody else. Remember, this word fault is the same form we found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I wish this thing went all messed up. All right, I'll try to make the use of what I got here. But confess or profess or acknowledge your faults one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In the effectual fervent prayer of a man, righteous man availeth much. The word false, again, the Greek 3900, paratoma, it means a side slip, that is an unintentional error, lapse, or deviation, a willful transgression. So all these things, again, confess your willful transgressions, your side slips, your unintentional errors, your deviations, your lapses, that you've got going on in your life. Now let's get something clear, okay? Let's make this is very clear. This confession that was talking about in the book of James here is that this isn't everyone's business. So don't, if you get in some site, don't go around and tell everybody about, oh, well, I did this. You know, I looked at so-and-so's wife a certain way, or I stole a candy bar from, you know, whatever. That's not everybody's business. It should only be between the people you have trespassed against and those who are very trusted and give wise counsel and direction. This confession is there to help return that person giving the confession back to the Father in the right way, not to hold the one giving the confession into more bondage. And you can get that when you actually go to other people thinking that you're being spiritual and you're going to tell everybody what you messed up on. You know, and the fact of the matter is that all too often in this ministry, when we're dealing with situations and as an elder, I've had more than my share of these situations dealing where people have, you know, basically met with failure someplace, you know, basically crapped on themselves, you know, due to it in their pants, did something that they should have done. And when they finally bring it to us, you know, because they need some counsel, some wisdom, they want to get freed from this and get right with the Most High. And you know, they want to continue in their sin, which is what we should all be doing. But By the time they get this, they find out they've let other 5 other people know or 10 other people know. They got to tell everybody what they did, you know, so they can feel better about themselves or other people can get empathy for them. Man, don't do that crap. If you mess up someplace, you know, don't go tell everybody. You keep it between you and the person that you had the problem with and do like Jesus said, you know, if you can't settle the matter, you get 2 others or you come, you give us a call. There's plenty of elders out there. If you know, it's not only me, of course, you got Elder Rufus and the other ones that the Father's put in positions to judge certain matters. So you bring it to us. And the beauty of that is that we're mature enough to know that no matter what you've done or what you may have done in your past, nobody will ever know about it. I mean, you don't have trust in amongst the body. It's going to be very difficult to operate in a loving, caring type of way. You know, trust is paramount in any type of group setting, any type of, you know, when people are together. It just has to be. Otherwise, it just, you know, it makes everybody too suspicious and nobody wants to be transparent. And you all know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, let's continue on. Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, very important word, convert, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And you're not going to convert somebody if you're out there telling everybody else, you know, what so-and-so did, because they didn't have enough sense not to keep it from you. They thought this, you know, this need that they needed to tell you. You know, there's something, I had this feeling or I had this impulse or this emotion. I had to tell you, you know, all this stuff. And it's like when a sister has to go tell a brother all this stuff, man, that's the most dangerous. You know, when she portrays herself a weak, she can take a strong man down. So, you know, just be careful all this stuff. The word convert, Greek 1994, this is the Thayer definition, epistropho, it means transitively, I guess that's the word, to turn to worship of the true Yah, to cause to return, to bring back. So the idea that he which brings back a sinner, somebody that's in an error, somebody that's in a fault or overtaking in a fault, taking and converting and bringing back to the love and obedience of Yah, shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And then we'll keep hide, you know, it's not for everybody. No, it's actually to keep it hidden. It's between you and them, and you're making it clear. They're getting clear. You know, you're actually being a help, an edification, to love for the children, to love wisdom and righteousness intransitively, whatever the word is, to return, turn back, come back. Anyway, you see that in the definition there anyway, okay? But that's the words I was trying to bring out. All right, 1 John 1:9. And we're almost done. If we confess to Yah our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's our excuse? If Yah is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to actually cleanse us, to free us, to remove us from the bondage we brought ourselves in. What's our excuse? We don't have any. And Jesus said clearly, if you're not going to forgive men, you're not going to forgive them from the Father, which is in heaven. Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 through 6. Yahweh, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Again, David, what kind of state this flesh has actually brought me into, how quickly I can, you know, the devil can deceive me, and how much I need you so I can be sustained and be supported and be covered all the days of my life. Make me to know my end. I don't want anything to go before me. I want everything to be taken care of now in this life, and I promise you I'll truly examine my heart, my spirit, my mind, my speech, all of it. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my ages as nothing before thee. I mean, it's a little tiny time. Truly, every man in his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. So forget all this time thinking you're something. You know, you got these, you know, great big plans of, you know, reinventing the wheel or whatever the case may be. You know, you know, whatever the, just remember who we are as individuals and how frail that we are and how much we need our covering, our Elohim. Surely every man that walketh in a vain show, surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, knowing not who should gather. And so the end of a man of vanity. But anyway, that's the end of the short study on forgiveness. And of course, it's one of these topics that's virtually endless, you know. But it is a principle of the Most High, and it is definitely a principle that we need to continually walk in. It actually is a beautiful thing when you're able to put aside, especially if somebody's done you some deep pain in your life. I mean, they actually has done something because they were in a state, and you're mature enough and spiritual enough to actually recognize that this person was deceived by the devil. He was used by the devil. He's in a way that might actually cause him to perish. And when they start coming to the knowledge that you can actually be there, say, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. You know, and hopefully the Father actually after that gives the clearance to go ahead and restore them back again, you know, to where they were, and even to give them something greater than what they had before they left, because he adds onto our measure if we're willing to build up our measure, you know, after we walk in righteousness. But anyway, that's the conclusion for tonight's show. Yeah, appreciate y'all coming off on this odd night, on second day night. You know, as last night when there was a technical glitch and weren't able to do the show last night, but appreciate y'all tuning in tonight, and hope you have a blessed week. Pray for one another that may be healed, is the command. And, of course, always lift up prayers, supplications for Pastor Dow, our shepherd, for Pastor Corey, for the elders that are ordained to judge in Israel, and for each other, as and be supporters for edifying, for, you know, it's just being there for one another, not for, for creating an atmosphere of complete unity and righteousness. Anyway, be encouraged. I hope you all have a blessed week. Be sober. Satan is always seeking about taking down another one, wanting to destroy another Israelite. His darts aren't aimed at the world. He's already got them. They're aimed at Israel. So stay under your covering. Y'all have favor on you when you stay under his covering. All right. All right. Bless you all. Hey, shalom. The king is coming.